Welcome to the Game AFL Podcast, a weekly hit of the best football analysis from the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. This is the game.
Well, hello, listeners. It's Friday afternoon. It is, well, we're knee deep in the Festival of Lies, the trade period.
Festival of Lies. I like it.
I have with me Glenn Quatermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer of the West Australian. Quarters, it's been an eventful start to the trade period. Often there's a lot of talk and not much action for a few days, but we saw Adelaide and Melbourne move pretty swiftly to get the Jake Lever trade done. And we'll get your thoughts in a minute on who won and lost out of that, or who is likely to win and lose out of that. We also saw Essendon move to get the Devon Smith trade done, which is going to leave the Western Bulldogs and Gold Coast and Essendon in an interesting position in terms of getting deals done for Adam Saad and Jake Stringer. Of course, Jake Stringer being the interesting one, given there's a little bit of a perception in the football industry that he can't go back to the Bulldogs. I'm not sure about that, but we'll have a debate about that, I suspect, because I think we are on opposite ends of the spectrum on that one. Anything else catch your eye in terms of trades done so far?
Well, a lot, actually. But the first thing I'll say is there's a lot of debate on, is it too long, trade period? Should it be 10 days? Should it be 4 days? But I don't have any problem with the length of time it takes. I think as long as you get the deals right, I don't really care. And the AFL certainly love it, because we're all talking about footy. And footy's finished. So I'd say keep it as it is.
I'll tell you what they do need to do, and I don't care really how long it is. I do suspect they would get the same number of deals done in 4 days as they do in 11 days.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they would be the right deals, though. I don't mind having a bit of considered time to have it peruse over everything and get it right for players and clubs. I don't mind it.
Geez, mate, there's some navel gazing goes on before they actually get to the deal.
Oh, of course.
But and the other thing I think that they need to do, it needs to become part of an AFL player's official year. So no one goes on holidays. Yep. We don't hear these horror stories of players being contacted in the back blocks of Nicaragua where they were holidaying to be told that, you know, there's a trade deal on the table. This is part of your environment.
Or Vegas.
This is good luck getting any sense out of anyone in Vegas. What? I'm going to the Widgie Mall the thirds. No worries. I'll play centre half forward there. Yeah, it is part of their official year. It is part of their official duties. Be here, be sober, be contactable, and understand that your future could change in the trade period, so therefore be around.
I've spoken to a few recently retired players in the last few weeks, and they all told me that they've been in this position where they've not been quite sure where they sit in the club's list at this time of year, and they reckon it is unbelievable. It's the most nervous time of their career because you just don't know. Every day you wake up and it could be a different scenario. So really tough on the players.
So let's talk about the two local clubs to start off with.
Yep.
Fremantle has completed a trade with the Western Bulldogs for Hayden Crozier. Now, there's an exchange of picks that go on here, but effectively this is Hayden Crozier to the Western Bulldogs for pick 40, which was pick 39, obviously downgraded because free agency compensations have been awarded to other clubs. May drift a little bit further, but there is a chance that this pick could come back into play for Brandon Matera, although I think Fremantle thinks that
a bit later on
they'll get Brandon Matera a little bit cheaper than that.
I think they'll get him cheaper. And so they've got 40, 41, I believe, at this stage.
5, 40 and 41,
and
that's right.
If the Balick deal...
we're not sure. But that's going to be late. That may be...
So I was hearing in the 40s with that one too.
I think that might be later than that.
Yep.
I think there's it might depend on how his medical goes at Melbourne. We heard that he passed that and Melbourne are quite happy to take him, but they may look at Balick as someone they can get quite cheap, and obviously you don't pay overs if you can get them for unders.
So I'm assuming they'll get Matera. I think they get Matera.
They will definitely get Matera.
So the issue for them is Nathan Wilson. So they've rejected their first offer, which was their original pick 40.
No.
It was later.
No. Fremantle's original offer for Nathan Wilson, I think the one on the table that GWS have rejected, is a future second-round pick. And I think there's still a feeling that the deal might get done for that, but obviously GWS are seeing what else they can get out of it. Fremantle are probably looking at anything else they can add as a set of steak knives. But I think the crux of that deal, unless something dramatic happens, will be Nathan Wilson to Fremantle for effectively next year's second-round pick.
Yeah, see, the last I heard was they were standing pretty firm on 15 to 20 for him.
Yeah, that's what they want.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. That's what they've – but the problem for GWS is they have salary cap issues. Obviously, there was a lot of money spent in retaining, I think, Hopper and Josh Kelly. There'll be more money spent next year in retaining others, so they need to somehow free up some money. And while they would prefer not to lose Nathan Wilson, they realise that that may happen.
So for me, if they get Wilson in, he's the big get. If they get Matera in, who yep. I rate, and you keep pick five and you get a pretty talented kid in through the draft, I think that's not been a bad period for Freo.
Yeah. Now, I think that's okay. It's not too dramatic. It's you know, we're not talking about anyone that's going to change the course of history in that. I think Wilson is valuable.
He's very valuable.
Pace and great kick.
Yep.
Those are things that Fremantle need. So hopefully they can get that deal closed.
Certainly
out.
Off half back, because your Johnsons aren't getting any younger. So I think he is a good acquisition. Will be, provided they get him, of course.
And Matera, well, Matera in, Crozier out. That's probably, I think, the problem for Crozier is that Crozier played his best footy at halfback, where the yep. Dockers started to introduce Lockie Weller, and obviously where Nathan Wilson will play, assuming they get him in the door.
Had a good year in 2016, but there's not really any continuity for Crozier, was there? So I'll be really interested to see if he gets the continuity at the Dogs and what he makes of it.
I think he'll play at halfback at the Western Bulldogs, because yep. I think Bob Murphy has retired.
Yep.
Obviously, Matty Boyd is gone too. I think he'll be a good player
yep.
off halfback.
Yep.
But I don't think he was ever going to quite be a consistent forward, which is where he ended up playing.
Of the two who were in question, I think I'm glad they re-signed Tabana. I do rate him, and I think he was the expendable one, Crozier.
Okay, let's go to West Coast. Now, West Coast is doing a bit of haggling over Brendan Archie, the young Port Adelaide player.
So they've knocked back 68, yeah, Port?
Yeah, look, I think the Eagles can afford to go one round higher
yep.
for Archie. I think he's a player, even though he hasn't played a lot of footy, only played four games last year, he's a player who's 23, had an outstanding year in the Sandful, which is a very good competition. He won Port Adelaide Magpies Best and Fairest, finished second in a McGarry Medal yep. off only about 13 or 14 games, had an outstanding game in the Sandful.
We're talking
grand
about
final.
A big-bodied midfielder here.
We are, yep.
So we'll be handy for them, and let's not beat around the bush. If they get him in, there's another set of steak knives that aren't Ginsu ones around the corner that could possibly be added a couple of years down the track from Gold Coast, and that's his brother.
Callum Archie, yep. who would be a very handy pickup for West Coast. The thing about Archie, I just get the feeling he's about to play his best footy. I think there were signs this year that he'd taken a step forward, and he just couldn't create the opportunity at AFL level because of who was in front of him. The players in front of him were all quality players. There was no disgrace or embarrassment to him.
Pretty hard midfield to break into that
being
one.
Caught behind them. Yeah. So I think, and it'll be even harder next year because Tommy Rockcliffe has joined
yep.
the fray as well. So,
And look, the other names I'm hearing at West Coast are chasing a Hartung from Hawthorn and Collier from Essendon. Now, both quick outside players, pretty Hartung's elite athletic ability and definitely an outside player. I don't
say definitely not an outside player.
My nice way of saying it.
doesn't enjoy crowds, quarters.
No, he's a bit allergic to people, mate. A bit allergic to people. But look, I don't mind those. I wouldn't mind either of those acquisitions. Interesting period for West Coast. Reasonably inactive, you would suggest.
I think they'll be waiting to see. Like what I'm hearing early on the Collier, I put the Collier one to someone who was in a position to know early in the week and they laughed at me.
Yep.
But West Coast appeared not to dismiss it. So I wonder whether West Coast are thinking they're looking at Essendon's challenge in getting Saad in the door, in getting Stringer in the door, and not having a first-round pick to play with anymore, having shifted that to GWS for pick 11 for
yep.
Devon Smith.
Yep.
I wonder whether they're thinking something may spill out at Essendon here and that we should be waiting around to try and...
There's a lot of waiting around being done at the moment, according to deals that may or may not fall into place, and I guess that's the essence of trade week.
It is. And Essendon, as I've said a few times this week, they like trying to get a three-bedroom by two-bathroom unit for three pubic hairs. They're not the most reasonable traders in the world. So
pick 11 for Smith, so they've had a crack there. I think they're more realistic this year.
Yeah, that's a lot. They obviously regard
Smith's a good player.
I would love to have seen how they prioritise those players.
Yeah, so Saad, I reckon Saad's number two. I think Smith was one, Saad's two.
And so
I think
you can string a three.
I do. And clearly that's what has been played out so far. I'm really going to be intrigued to see whether they can be creative try and get Stringer in somehow else.
But the package has been devalued.
Well, the package was devalued when the Bulldogs put him out to dry.
Okay, so let's have the debate.
Currency, mate. It's all about currency.
You're saying that, I think what you're about to say, based on what discussions we've had off air, is that Jake Stringer can't go back to the Western Bulldogs based on what's transpired?
I'd say it's very, very difficult, yes.
Okay. I'm saying he can. Mm-hmm. There's a contract in place. I think the Bryce Gibbs precedent, the Hayden Ballantyne precedent at Fremantle says that they are big boys. They do have honest conversations. I think they have brutally honest conversations on a week-to-week basis. And I think they're all pretty simple souls too. I think at the end of the day, it can't be done and they can sit Jake down and say, these are the problems we had with you this year. Do you think you can fix them?
Well, he's not going to stand out of footy.
Correct.
So he'll play where he ends up. But I'm just still not sure a deal won't be done somewhere. I reckon it'll be at the death.
Yep.
But I think there'll be something done. He will end up. I'm still banking on Essendon getting him somehow, but they'll be creative in how they do it.
Will they get all three, do you think?
I think they will, okay. Which is a great result for them.
That would be a great effort.
Essendon, we've said all along, I'm not sure if they address their problems so much.
Midfield?
Yeah, and we're talking about running the other way, not just running forward. So
maybe they need Billy Hartung. You're saying that he runs the other way.
They're not after Billy Hartung. But I think they're building towards a formidable unit, Essendon.
Okay. But I think you're right in terms of the primary problem lies in the midfield. So really, if they were to get Jake Stringer, it would be great if they could turn him into a fast-running, big-bodied midfielder as opposed to the hybrid forward that he was at the Western Bulldogs.
Yeah, he'd still look good down in that forward line. They've got alongside Danaher.
Did Melbourne pay too much for Jake Lever? What are your thoughts? Two first-round picks.
We won't know until if he's got the Norm Smith medal around his neck the end of next year and they've won the flag, then no.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm really not comfortable with two first-round draft picks.
Yeah, there was an exchange of later picks.
Yeah, but so let's forget that. Yeah. Two first-round draft picks for Jake Lever. And I think at around $750,000 a year, we're saying.
So that's certainly, $750,000 a year means you probably should be giving up one first-round pick and it probably should be a top-10 pick.
Yep. Yeah, look, I've no problem with the first-round pick. I'm just concerned about a first-round pick next year. Now, it may be very, very low or very high, but Melbourne, I think, will have a pretty good year next year. He addresses a real deficiency for them. That's that intercept defender, but at the end of the day, he's an intercept defender.
Yeah.
He's not your stopping defender. So, you know, is he worth first-round draft picks? Only time will tell.
Now, what about your boys, the Hawks? Jarman Impey.
Really happy with that. Okay. Really happy with that acquisition.
Geez, they're a long way down in the draft order now, Corners. How are they going to get back in?
Well, they're going to try and trade back in. Look, in Hartung, there may be some role there to play. I see Whitecross's name's been mentioned. Whether they come back in and they get something back in the 30s, perhaps.
Based on what you've told me about Billy Hartung, I don't see him getting you back into the 30s.
It's really who else knows who's out there. But I think their mission now is to try and trade back into the draft. But I don't mind Impey. I really like him as a footballer. He can run both ways and he will add a real bit of speed. He's got the skills that will suit Hawthorne's game style, and he's a Melbourne boy.
He's really quick.
And has shown quite a bit of humility this week on social media with his posts to the Port Adelaide Football Club, certainly in saying how much love he has for them, and this is just a case. I think he lost his father at the start of last year when he had a few off-field issues. So we certainly forgive him for that. And I think he seems to be a pretty good kid. Made a massive impression on Alistair Clarkson, I'm told, when they met.
That's good. He certainly plays with a lot of endeavour, Jarman Impey. You'd like to see him clean up his ball use and his ball handling a little bit, but he certainly will add pace to the Hawks.
Provided there's not something out of left field which you wouldn't discount for Hawthorn, I've got a feeling this is pretty well it for them, apart from trading back into the draft. So I think they've played their cards pretty much. Unless someone like a Shacky is available, which is still With Hodgie going to Brisbane, there's a lot of goodwill there, and with perhaps, I keep mentioning this, but Hartung and Whitecross are available. Maybe something, and a future second-round draft pick or something could end up in their lap for someone like a Shacky, but that'd be about it.
Two things worry me about Shacky.
Yep.
One is how slow he looks.
Yep. His dad was too. His dad looks slow too, but he's a very good player.
I know that young key position players, and particularly key forwards, take time, but they often look quick and athletic, and they just aren't able to hold ground in body contests. Shacky doesn't look quick. The other problem I have, and this is something that I go back 25 years on this, and a well-respected administrator who's still on the scene now, has survived the test of time for 25 years. He was commenting on a young ruckman at the time, and I sort of said, oh, he's a really good player, because he looked a really good player. I'll leave names out of this. And he said, he will never be any good. And I said, why is that? And he said, because at that age, all you should be worried about is playing footy. You should not be worried about where you're playing footy.
Okay.
And he was proven right. And that was his theory on footballers. If a young guy was too worried about where he was to worry about actually playing, he said he didn't love the game enough and would never be any good.
Picked up what, number two?
Picked up number two in the draft.
So, yeah, I reckon he's one of the best juniors of his crop. I reckon he's a good gamble, really, on the good side of gambling. I'd have a crack at him.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. We'll see. We'll go back to revisit that comment in 10 years' time.
We will.
You might be right.
We will. Questions.
You might well be right. A couple of questions here, some related to the trading, some not. Simon Collins.
Ah.
Do you think Essendon Football Club will just win the flag in 2019 and 2020, or will it be a trifecta? If so, 2018 or 2021? It's fairly cocky from Essendon.
Well, it's good to see they've regained their non-humility very quickly and probably ahead of time. Simon, you're a fantastic music writer. Don't give up your day job, son. Next one.
Damien says, seeing as GWS rejected Fremantle's first offer, 2018 second round selection for Nathan Wilson, how do they get it done? What should they do?
I think Fremantle will hold their ground a little bit on this one, and they'll just see whether it ends up being done for that future second round pick. I don't think there's a lot they can do to shift it any further. And the feeling is that Wilson wants to come home. The GWS has admitted they're prepared to trade.
Couple of second rounders?
Well, how they get back into this second round, that's going to be the big question. They don't have one at the moment.
Yep.
So they have two early third round picks. So maybe could they shift one of the third round picks to GWS? Is that going to mean a lot to GWS? It might be that they could shift a player to GWS and offer to pay his salary.
So you've got 1 year in his contract to run?
Yes, one more year. Yes.
So there's the option. So GWS will be thinking very nervously that we keep him for a year and we get not much. I'm not sure. So
yeah, and I think the other thing they have, they're really tight on their cap.
Yep.
So to be able to create a bit of space by shifting a guy like Wilson.
So let's assume they want to shift him, but at the right price. So I reckon they'll be flexible. We'll see how that one plays out.
Certainly the last 24 hours, there was still a feeling that it could be done for the future second round pick. We'll watch this space.
Paul Flay says, there's a lot of talk, especially on Docker member forums, about Ross Lyon not having a game plan that suits the modern game. Do you see the game plan being taught at Fremantle is significantly different from other clubs? The Richmond grand final win seemed to be pretty heavily effort-based, which is a Ross Lyon mantra. It's not a bad point.
It's a good point. What you do need, though, is skill at the top end to make the effort count for something. And if you look at Ross Lyon's near misses as a coach, and we're talking about St Kilda in 2009, St Kilda in 2010, Fremantle in 2013, there was a lack of finish in all three regimes.
Would you rate Crozier as a fairly skillful footballer?
I would.
He's out.
But I think Wilson in, Crozier out, covers that. I think Matera is a very skillful footballer. I think Lockie Weller they're bringing through is a skillful footballer. So they're trying gradually to add more polish. I think there has been a little bit too much emphasis on effort and a little too little on polish and finish. And don't forget that, yes, Richmond, it was high effort. They were also super quick.
Yep.
And they also got great games out of Jack Revolt, out of Basher Hooley, out of Dustin Martin, out of Trent Cotchin. They're polished Finnish players, all produced on the big stage when it mattered.
And you could make the same argument the year before for the Dogs, and certainly through that Hawthorn era.
That's right.
Yeah, so Ben from Leafy Caronup. Ben from Leafy Caronup. Should they keep the Chris Mayne-wearing wing at the new stadium for all games?
No.
Yeah.
But it should absolutely stay in place for West Coast games.
I agree. Couldn't agree more. He's an East Fremantle boy, but they're not going to buy that Freo. They should have their own wing. I'm not sure who it would be named after, but certainly the Chris Mayne-wearing ring for the Eagles games, I think, would be apt.
Yeah, they wanted to honour a champion. He was a heart and soul player, Maney. Sadly passed away. We all miss him. Quarters, you and I both knew him.
Yeah.
It's great that West Coast honour him, but it only applies to them. They have the right to do it, and Fremantle has the right not to do it.
Yep. Couple we haven't mentioned. That's the questions from me for the moment. Jack Watts and Gibbs, do you see? I think Watts will move. Looks like Port's the front runner still for that one. They've cleared out a bit of salary cap space, so I think they can get him in.
Yep.
Gibbs is really interesting. Everyone keeps denying it, but I don't know. I just still sniff something here.
I reckon what can happen, because Adelaide's got the two first-round picks, plus they've got their first-round pick. If they get a first-round pick for Charlie Cameron, if he goes north to Brisbane, they may decide to try and shift a pick to try and get Bryce Gibbs. But there's some talk that, like, Carlton continues to put this two first-round pick price on Bryce Gibbs. Adelaide should absolutely not.
I don't think they will.
Spend two first-round picks on Bryce Gibbs. That's just too
much. But I think one first-round pick, I could handle that.
Yeah. What's he now? Is he 27, 28, somewhere around there? You know, he would have enough good football left in him to justify one first-round pick. He's not that good a player that he justifies two.
Yep. And we did mention in our last podcast that there'd be a bit of action in the off-season for Richmond, and it didn't take long. It didn't take long.
And this one will unfold. Of course, there's a police investigation in place over the mystery topless photo. We pretty much know who took the photo. We're not sure how it became circulated. That's probably going to be a key to the police investigation. Obviously, the girl's parents were shocked and upset, and they raised the matter. But yes, drunk footballers and drunk girls, it's not a good mix.
And I'm saying there'll be another six. That's just early bettings on another six incidents.
Another six incidents in the off-field over summer.
At Richmond.
Before we get to round one.
At Richmond.
Let's put a time frame on this.
Round one, before round one.
Yep.
Oh, it's just set up for it beautifully.
Okay. Quarters, thanks for joining me today. Hopefully your club trades well over the weekend.
Won't trade, no.
We'll be back. I'm not talking about your club. It's not all about Hawthorn, you know.
I'm
talking to the listeners here.
Of course.
All right. We'll be back early next week, and we'll have a further update on how the trades have unfolded.
The Game AFL podcast is brought to you by the West Australian and the Sunday Times, where the footy never stops. Watch the best videos and stay on the ball with breaking news and expert analysis at thewest.com.au and perthnow.com.au. This has been The Game.